The Rooted in Love Show. Life spoken from the roots of those who adapt to reach the sunlight.
We stay rooted in love. We stay grounded. We get up straight from above. We stay rooted. We stay rooted in love. We stay grounded. We get up straight from above. We stay rooted. We stay rooted in love. We stay grounded. We get up straight from above. We stay rooted. Rooted. Stay rooted.
Welcome back to the Rooted in Love Show. Lonnie J. Jackson with my good brethren right here.
The Robinson boys right here.
You know what I'm saying? Deebles acting. Now I gotta say their names. And don't forget, Miss Wonderful Stephanie Lee over here as well, too.
Pleasure to be here.
Chopping it up. Yes. Let's talk about it.
We thank you. We thank you. Now we about to dive into some meat here. Something real in depth. We want you to go in. We kind of talked about in terms of your college life. So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about after.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We left off with the addiction. So let's jump right into it.
Okay. So, you know, now I didn't just go to West Georgia. I also went to dentalectic college. I forgot to tell you about that. I was going to make teeth and work for him. Tried that. You know, I was great at it.
Is that when he had the office up the street from
just
here?
Right up here. Yeah. I tried that again. I was great at it. But I just... It was the drugs were just tearing everything up. So I was addicted to cocaine for a while, and my second child was about, I think he was probably 6 or 7, and I had gotten back into using again heavy. Mm. And so heavy that again I said to myself, well, if I don't have another child, I'm probably going to OD or something. And so I did. I had another child.
Okay.
My third baby. Mm. Yes. And after I had him, I just went right back to the same thing. I was doing meth.
Now, were you raising this child too?
No, I was. I had both of my sons, not my first one, okay, but you know, my two sons. This is when I started doing opiates. That's a whole nother monster. I mean, I had been doing cocaine and alcohol and marijuana and stuff, but opiates is just a whole nother demon. I mean, it was just, I absolutely loved them. I mean, they made me feel great. But that's a true addiction. I mean, it's just, right, you just can't get enough. And so that opiate addiction led to, because opiates are expensive.
What I
started doing was, at the time, it was kind of a fad, and you could do that back then. I started going to these doctors and getting prescribed.
Okay.
At one point in time, I had 4 or 5 doctors that I was going to, mm-hmm, you know, getting prescriptions for Roxy's and Somas and Xanax's. Right. And,
now, were you telling them you were having pain or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, back when this was going on, I mean, it was a thing. There were so many pill mills, you know, before they changed the law. Thank God they changed the law. Now there's a Georgia prescription drug monitoring program.
Oh, yeah.
And you can only have one doctor. Right. But like I said, at one point, I think I probably had 6 doctors.
Oh, wow.
And so not only was that feeding my addiction, but that's how I was supporting myself.
Okay.
So, you know, I wasn't really a drug dealer, but that's how I was supporting.
But you were selling.
Selling my pills and making good money. I mean, it was just plenty of money to live, mm-hmm, you know, until it wasn't, because my addiction was so bad.
Right.
And that's when that just got, I mean, it's just, I just do like this because it just consumes you. It's just like a you know, unquenchable thirst. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. And up to this point, you know, I had maintained pretty well with my family, and, you know, I might have a job here and there, but then when I got the pill thing going, you know, why did I need anything else? I was making plenty of money and, you know, not having to work. So that's when things started really getting out of hand. And when I couldn't quench that thirst anymore, that's when I turned to heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Because heroin was so much cheaper.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, $10 of heroin a day was equal to, you know, $200 a day.
But isn't that more addictive than even opiates?
Oh, absolutely.
That's fair.
Heroin is terrible. It loves nothing but itself. Yeah. It's, you know, we've talked about it before and how I kept going back to my family and I always had that safety net there.
Yeah.
But once I started leaning in the direction of heroin and started using heroin, that's when I really started distancing myself.
Okay.
And at this point, I've had another child. So this is my fourth child.
Okay. And they're all living with you still at this point?
Three of them.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And until I started using heroin, that's when my younger children, there were just several, you know, events that happened. And my mother wound up taking my two younger children.
Okay.
So at this point, it's just me. It's me and my other baby daddy, my last baby daddy.
Right.
We were using together and selling pills and using. And it was just, that's all we were doing. You know, I mean, I would see my kids occasionally, you know, maybe every other weekend and maybe once a month. You know, I just got further and further and further away from them.
Right.
Now, quick question. I know in terms of it was a lot of emotional and mental, but was it any physical effects?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I lost a lot of weight. And addiction itself is opiate addiction is a monster that, I mean, my feet didn't touch the floor without my first dose. I mean, you can't function. You can't do anything at all until you have that first dose or that first hit. It's your whole life. And your whole life is about getting the next one and making sure you have enough. You know, I couldn't think of anything other than where I'm going to get this and how I'm going to get this. You know, it just got that bad. And that's when I started distancing myself from that safety net that I'd always had. I mean, not that they weren't still there. They were still there. They were concerned.
But that was,
you know,
okay.
they would reach out and say, you know, how you doing? What's
always
going on? I'm fine. I'm good.
Right.
I just did this. You know, I got a new job. I probably wouldn't even have a job. I got a new job. I'm making this. Yeah, just got back from work. You know, I mean, it's just,
right. It
just creates so many problems. Just a lot, you know, things that I had never done before.
Worked to cover it up.
Absolutely. It was just crazy.
So you have three kids. Well, you're four kids in. And the fourth is a boy?
The fourth is a girl. I finally had a girl. I had three boys and a girl.
Three boys and a girl. So
yes.
In terms, did your parents come in and take the two boys? Or
okay, so the last two, my daughter and my son.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationship that I was in, my last baby daddy, it was an abusive relationship. It wound up being a very bad relationship. I mean, we were both using, and he was abusive. And so I'm trying to remember exactly, somehow or another, DFACs got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were coming to the house and, you know, I know why, because the police were called. We had neighbors that were called because of our fights.
Gotcha.
And when the police were called, they called. They called in defects because of the family violence. They I think they had to.
So,
you know, they got involved and they set out this plan that I was supposed to do. I was supposed to come in and do the drugs. And actually, I did get clean for a little while. I said, okay. All right, you know, this is getting out of hand. You know, I'm gonna get it together. So I got clean long enough to take my test for them.
Wow.
And you know, to do what I needed to do, but it just didn't last. You know, I was still with him, and he wasn't getting clean, and they wanted him to come in and test too, and he wouldn't. So it just, I mean, it was just crumbling back down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what happened was, you know, they said that the children had to go somewhere, you know, if my mom would take the children, that's just what happened. That's what was decided. My mom said she would take them.
Okay.
And so they went to live with her.
Keep them from getting split up and all that craziness that go through the defects and everything.
Exactly.
Well, that's,
and I thank God for that.
I was about to say, that's a blessing.
I mean,
that was
just amazing.
What
exactly.
About family?
Right.
Oh, wow.
But family supported, though. And
exactly.
That goes back to the backbone of family.
Exactly.
We always talk
exactly.
About that in terms
right.
Of the backbone of family.
Exactly. And they were always there, you know, especially right. My mom taking the kids in, you know, I didn't realize at the time what a blessing it was. But then, you know, at the same time, what happened was, so now I'm really free of I have no children, you know, and I'm already addicted. And so all that did, you know, my children going.
Subscribe to the Rooted in Love show for weekly updates and free giveaways.
And so all that did, you know, my children going to live with her. It was the best thing that could have ever happened for them. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was the worst thing. Because mm-hmm. When I still had my kids, I would still stay grounded enough and be mm-hmm. able to present myself and be sober sometimes, you know, and be present for them. You know, but once they were gone and, you know, that's when things really spiraled out of control for me. That's when, you know, the heroin use came in and, you know, nothing else mattered. And I had a house. I wound up losing my house and I wound up moving to Atlanta. And once I moved to Atlanta, I was really distant from everybody because not just my parents, but even my baby daddies.
Right.
And, you know, I always had a good support system, you know, shout out to all my baby daddies. Y'all are great.
That's including the fourth one, right?
Shout out to all my baby daddies. So, you know, they were always there for the kids, and we always stayed close. You know, even though I had another, you know, boyfriend, I mean, we just always, you know, we would have cookouts and, you know, right. So, but once I moved to Atlanta, I mean, that was just kind of the beginning of the end for me. It really was.
And you were still avoiding the police?
Oh, yeah. I had been, I'm telling you, God had his hand on me. I mean, you know, and I think one of the reasons why I got so far is because I never had to pay any consequences. Never had a DUI, never got a possession charge. You know, I had just gone so long. And, you know, once I lived in Atlanta, I mean, that's all I did. I mean, I ate, slept, and breathed heroin. I mean, that's all I did. That was all I was about. You know, I would, you know, get clean enough to go to the doctor. At this point in time, they had changed the laws, and so I only had one doctor left that I was getting, because I'm still supporting myself selling those pills.
Okay.
But I only had one doctor now, so it was pretty detrimental. That wasn't really cutting it, you know, so I had to do some pretty, you know, questionable things to keep my habit going. And like I said, I was really separated from everybody, barely seeing the kids. You know, maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months. And so, hallelujah, God had another plan. So I'm on the way back from my doctor's visit one day. When I used to leave the doctor's visit, I'd go straight to my dealer's house and sell him some pills and get my heroin. So I'd have everything I needed. So I was stocked up and we got pulled over.
Oh, in Atlanta?
And no, we're actually on the way back from Atlanta, Powder Springs.
Okay.
Okay, Powder Springs, right there. They're always right there, 278.
Yeah.
We got pulled over, and now I used to keep all of my stuff in a little container that I could keep very well hidden.
Right.
And I did. I had it all very well hidden. Okay. Except for I had needles and stuff at the time, and so I had a little pouch that I kept my needles, and there was an old bag in there that I didn't know was in it. Because believe me, if I'd have known it was in there, it'd have been gone a long time ago. I'd have used it, not the, you know. So they didn't find all of my pills and my, you know, gram and a half of heroin that I had on me. Praise God, because that'd have been a whole nother.
Yeah, that would have been. Right.
So I went to jail for possession of heroin. But it was just, you know, it was just a substance and just enough probably for them to test.
Right.
So I went to Cobb County Jail. Now, I had gone to jail a couple of other times on some minor stuff. Like, I was always, I didn't have a driver's license. I lost my license.
Okay.
But I was still trying to drive. So driving offenses, you know, like driving on suspended license. But this time, this was my first drug charge. And when I got in there, they held me for 8 months in there.
Ooh.
But it's the best thing that could have ever happened to me. So I was 42 when that happened. So I went to jail, and oh my gosh, the withdrawals and it was horrible. I had to be put on IV. I mean, I was just deathly sick.
Yeah, that's right. I was having a hard time imagining it. Because jail doesn't seem like the place set up
for
somebody to go through withdrawals.
It is not.
You went through a natural, though. Right? They're not set up. It's like,
I mean, vomit all over the floor for 2 days, just bile. Just, I mean, it was horrible. It was one of the worst things I'd ever gone through. But so I was in there, and the longer I was in there, you know, my mind started getting clear.
Okay.
It takes about 3-4 weeks before you really kind of get that kind of thing out of your system.
Right.
And the longer I was in there, you know, God really began to call me. I could really hear him. And now let me say this. I'd always been a believer. You know, I'd always prayed. I even read the Bible with my children. But I just didn't really have a relationship. Okay. You know, like I told you before, there was always this void. I know now what that void was, and that was him that I was missing. That's that's what I believe. But, you know, he was just calling to me, and I just started to know that there was something better for me, that I was blessed, you know, that I had these children. And before, it just always seemed like there was this, and I always knew that before, and I used to pray, you know, God, take this taste out of my mouth. But I just always knew I was going to still use, you know, but I would still pray, but it was like there was a brick wall there, and I just didn't have the tools to knock it down. Right. I knew what was on the other side. You know, I knew there was light and family and love, but I couldn't get to it. It was just
it kind of holds your heart. I mean, so much like pop right now. You're like,
I mean, it was terrible. Was cool. I mean, I was at a roadblock.
Yeah, you know? My pops are so similar.
And I didn't know that about him. You know, it's overcomers.
Right.
It can happen. So, you know, I was there, and the longer I was there, there were some people in there that started. I got a Bible, and I started getting visited from a volunteer lady from Out of Darkness. And she started pouring into me, and I got a recovery Bible, and I started kind of going through step work on my own. And I started reading the Bible. I had always tried to read the Bible, but I just never really got it. And but you know, I mean, I just didn't. I mean, I tried it, and I read it to my children, you know, and told them the stories, but this time it was just totally different. I mean, God had called me, and I answered the call. You know, I finally just submitted everything to him. I realized that, you know, I can't control the things that have already happened.
Correct.
You know, I mean, they're done. You know, I've hurt people. People have hurt me.
Yep.
And there's nothing that can ever change that. Right. Only forgiveness. You know, that forgiveness for myself them.
That's how you, that's how the Spirit loves people.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I started realizing there's amends I've got to make. You know, there's you know, there's so much. And I started getting excited. I started getting hope back and, you know, my light back, you know, and I started, you know, this woman that was pouring into me, her name was Bonnie, and I love her, and I thank God for her all the time. But I started pouring into other people in the jail, you know, and I started realizing that, you know, when I get out of here, what's going to happen? You know, I can't go back to where I was, because you can't go back to the same things. I mean, you absolutely can't. And I thought, you know, I just need to go on and go to rehab. Even though I was clean for 8 months, you know, I just knew I had to change something. I knew I had to take a big step, because I had tried so many times.
So you made that decision on your own. You got that spark, and you was like,
absolutely. I had made up my mind, and there wasn't no going back. But also, so I started talking to people about rehabs and stuff, and I started getting scared, because a lot of people were talking about the rehabs in Cobb County, and they were like, you know, they're just places to go to use more drugs and get more connections. And I was like, man, that ain't what I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I'm trying to do. And so, and that's a good thing.
You remember, we worked with the homeless people in Atlanta for so long. So we would be out feeding the homeless. And I could see dealers standing outside the rehab doors waiting for people.
Right. And that's a real thing. It's true. And all these people were and I've never been to rehab, never tried rehab. I told myself, you know what I'm saying? I'll use heroin for the day I die. You know what I'm saying? I was dead. I was like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Rehab's for quitters, you know? but I had to make a decision, and I gave my life to God, and I started letting him direct me. And what he began to instill in me is that, and let me say shout out again to Dr. Lee, my daddy. My daddy was my biggest supporter when I was in jail. He put money on my books.
Yep.
He talked to me religiously every week, you know, because there had gotten to a point before jail where I didn't really talk to my mom or my dad.
Okay.
I might talk to my dad once every 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. You know, but once I went to jail, you know, he was always there for me. And he was my biggest supporter. And so what God began to tell me was that, you know, you really need to probably go down where your daddy is. You know, you need to get away from Atlanta, away from me. You don't even need to be around these people, because there's a such thing as triggers for addicts. You know, things that, and not just addicts, you know, but for people triggered, you know, there's places that trigger these emotions and desires to do things.
Yep.
You know, exactly.
Y'all listening to this. This is real, man.
It's good stuff. So I went to South Georgia. I found a rehab down there. And it was a very God-centered and spirit-filled place. And shout out to Valley Rescue Mission. It changed my life. You know, it changed my life.
I was following the story later after that when I started seeing the group and visual. And I'm just watching it. I'm like, man, this is beautiful.
And it was a beautiful place they poured into me.
But you were coming off as authentic. Like when I would hear about you and hear people tell me about you, it didn't seem fake. It didn't seem like you were just trying to get by, just to get back out there. But you,
absolutely.
Even now, like you were very authentic, and
I'm right here. I'm listening to you as well too, man. It's intriguing because you're glowing.
Yeah, we're gonna pick back up on this because this is good stuff.
We stay rooted. We stay rooted in love. We stay grounded. We get our strength from above. We stay rooted. We stay rooted in love. We stay grounded.
Brought to you by 8 Robinsons TV and Yellow Tub Creative.